Welcome back, Draft Geeks, to the third installment of our post-2015 NFL Draft. Once again, we're going through these division by division, kind of seeing what we like, what we dislike. For this episode, we're going to look at the AFC North, so the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers. Once again, I'm Brian Johannes. I'm joined, as always, by Kyle Howe, both of us of NFLDraftGeek.com. Before we get started, Kyle, how are you doing this evening?
Great. Can't wait to get on the talk about the AFC North. I think it was probably the best division in football for the draft.
Well, and some might say the best division in football because you had three teams make the playoffs too.
Yeah, but you got the Browns that always weigh it down.
So let's go ahead. Let's get started with the Ravens. Nine picks for the Ravens. They always tend to have so many compensatory picks. Pretty well-run franchise, at least front office-wise, so they always have a ton of picks. The first round they went with Central Florida receiver Breshad Perriman. In the second round they took Minnesota tight end Max Williams. Fifth round, Carl Davis, defensive tackle from Iowa. Fourth round, Za'Darius Smith, a defensive end from Kentucky. Fourth round, Buck Allen, a running back from USC. Also in the fourth round, they took Trey Walker, a cornerback from Texas Southern. In the fifth round, they had two picks, Nick Boyle, a tight end from Delaware, Robert Myers, a guard from Tennessee State, and then their sixth round pick was their final pick, and that was Darren Waller, a wide receiver, maybe a tight end from Georgia Tech. We talked about Perriman before. I know personally for me, I thought he was right around the right value. I projected him as a late first round guy, never got the early teens hype for him. I think he's going to fit pretty well with this offense, kind of fill in Torrey Smith's role. He's got good speed. I like his ability to go up and get the ball. He does have some questionable catching ability with his hands.
Yeah, I predicted that the Ravens were going to take Perriman. There was a lot of talk of him going earlier, but I think this was right around the perfect range for him. His comparison to me coming out of college was Torrey Smith. Very similar players, both had the same issues coming out of college. So I think it was a great pick for the Ravens.
Yeah, and then, moving on, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time because we already covered that in our first round review. I thought they got good value in their second and third round picks. Max Williams, I think if he would have gone in that first round to the Ravens, I don't think too many people would have really complained. Getting him at the end of the second round was a good value. He was by far the best tight end in the draft. Then Carl Davis is another guy that some people had mentioned as a late first round. I wasn't a huge fan of him, especially his motor, but you get him in the third round, especially late third round, that's pretty good value too.
Yeah, I absolutely loved the Ravens' second or third round pick. I think it was just, best player available and happened to fill two big needs for them. Carl Davis, I liked him quite a bit coming out. I do feel like his motor was hot and cold. Reminded me a lot of Nick Fairley, particularly with that hot and cold motor. But, when he's on, and he's almost impossible to stop one-on-one. He's a big addition to this defensive line that just lost Odinata.
Yeah, definitely. I think he could fit right in at a five-technique defensive tackle. They lost Nada at that same position, so he could be a guy definitely that's pushing for playing time there. Real quick on Max Williams, it's funny too because he got the mentioned with Torrey Smith comparison to Perriman. One of the comparisons Max Williams got was a little bit of Todd Heap, so it's kind of funny that he gets that kind of comparison and then goes to the Ravens also.
Yeah, that is funny.
Looking at their fourth round picks, Za'Darius Smith, Buck Allen, and Trey Walker. I thought those were pretty solid picks. Smith was a guy that Alvin Dupree got a lot of attention for Kentucky, but Za'Darius Smith was a guy that was always making plays too, always putting pressure on the quarterback. It should be interesting to see where he goes. I'm not quite for sure that if he's a 3-4 defensive end, but he's also not a 3-4 outside linebacker. So maybe he fits that McPhee type role where they develop him, and in a couple of years he's a sub-package pass rusher.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be a sub-package pass rusher at the five technique. I don't think he really fits anywhere else, but and I wasn't a huge fan of his. He kind of reminded me of Devin Taylor, but a little less talented. Still, I think it was a solid pick for the Ravens.
Yeah. And then Buck Allen is a guy that I know we talked about this on our player preview. He's a guy that I didn't necessarily like a lot as a runner, but as a receiver, I thought he was tremendous. And if you look at Mark Trestman's offensive scheme that he has, when he was with the Bears, they threw to Forte quite a bit. And so I could see him really filling as that complementary role to Justin Forsett, a guy that they use in the passing game quite a bit.
Yeah, actually, I like Buck Allen a good amount as a runner, too. I think it was a crowded running back class, but I thought he was even better than T.J. Yeldon, and Yeldon went in the second round. What's that?
Oh, I was throwing up in my mouth.
Oh, yeah. yeah, I mean, I like him, and I think this is great value, as always, for a Ravens pick. And I think, he could be a guy that continues to develop and could maybe even take over as a starter in Baltimore one day. Not this year, but in the future.
Yeah. Kind of looking at their fifth and sixth round picks, I know Nick Boyle more than I do. Gives them a physical blocking type tight end with if I'm not mistaken from the conversations we've had, gives them some pass catching options also.
Yeah, Nick, he's not a quick twitch athlete. He's not the, he's not going to be the guy that plays out of the slot and, runs past linebackers and, you have to match up bigger corners or safeties on him. But he's a guy that can, he can make plays over the middle. Certainly not afraid of contact. What do I say? He's an extremely high character player. I like the pick a lot for them. Nick's a great kid, and he's going to do big things for the Ravens.
Yeah. Looking at their last two picks, I think they got some, intriguing players with Robert Myers and Darren Waller. Myers is a guy who, I know Nolan is pretty high on him originally. I think he gives them some depth at guard. They've kind of struck gold with later round offensive linemen lately. He could be a guy that develops into a solid backup. And then Waller is interesting, a 6'6" receiver coming out of Georgia Tech, real raw. Some thought, him as a tight, he could be possibly be a tight end. He should be kind of interesting to see what they do with him over time.
Yeah, I imagine the Ravens have a plan in place already for Darren Waller. I mean, I shouldn't say as if he was some big hyped prospect they drafted, but I think they drafted him with a purpose. Just knowing Ozzie Newsome, knowing that Ravens coaching staff, that he's gonna have a purpose in that offense in the future. I wasn't a big fan of his coming out of college, but I don't think he's just going to be utilized as strictly a tight end or strictly as a receiver. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
Yeah. Looking at the Ravens overall, I liked what they did. I didn't love what they did. I don't think they had one of the top three or top four best, even top five best draft classes. But their top three picks were really good. I felt like they got good mid-round talent, and they got guys in that late rounds that have the high weight speed that can make it in the NFL. So, I mean, it's a pretty good draft in my opinion.
I love the Ravens draft. I thought it was one of the best. They really upgrade on that offense. Even made some good moves for their defense. I don't see anything wrong with their draft at all. It was almost flawless for me.
All right. Let's move on to the Bengals. Kind of an interesting draft. We'll kind of get into that. They had 9 picks also. First round, they took Cedric Obui, offensive tackle from A&M. Second round, they took Jake Fisher, an offensive tackle from Oregon. Third round, they took tight end Tyler Croft from Rutgers. Also in the third round, they took Paul Dawson, a linebacker from TCU. In the fourth round, they took Josh Shaw, cornerback safety from USC, and Marcus Hardison, a defensive tackle from Arizona State. In the fifth round, they took CJ Uzomah, a tight end from Auburn. In the sixth round, they took Darren Smith, a safety from Fresno State. And then in the seventh round, they took Mario Alford, a wide receiver from West Virginia. I mentioned earlier that it's an interesting draft. It seems like the Bengals, year in and year out, they get good value, especially in the mid-rounds, guys that you hear a lot of hype about. I think this is kind of the same. If we talked quite a bit about Ogbui, so, I mean, I don't know if you want to expand on that anymore, a guy that I think they took to look towards the future, a possible eventual replacement for Andrew Whitworth at left tackle. He's probably not going to play much right away.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at their second-round selection, this is definitely a future pick for them with Obui. He's probably not even going to see a field this year.
Yeah, and that kind of brings us right into their second-round pick, Jake Fisher. I know he was a name that a lot of people were mocking to the Bengals, you know, and he ends up being their second-round pick. Kind of interesting that they went O-tackle both first and second round. Do you think this is the signal to Andre Smith that he's probably going to be cut pretty soon? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that with Smith. I just think he's such a liability as it is with his, between his weight, his conditioning issues, and then his injury history. Jake Fisher, I mean, I don't know if he's going to beat Andre Smith out from day one as a starting right tackle in Cincinnati, but he's going to either push for playing time or Andre Smith is going to get hurt. So I see him certainly as more of an opening day guy than a Obui.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I'm not saying Obui's a, you know, he might not play, he might play later on in the season.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of, I thought he had a lot of technique work to get cleaned up. You know, we can't go on without talking about Whitworth. I know Whitworth wants a new contract, and then they go and draft two offensive tackles. I would think they want to give him money. They also have talked about wanting to move him into guard too. So, you know, maybe they drafting these two guys are their two tackles of the future and they move Whitworth into guard, or maybe these are the two tackles of their future, and Whitworth will be on another team in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, it could be either situation that plays out, and, you know, the Bengals are really cost-conscious when it comes to re-signing guys and making sure they don't overpay for even their own free agents, so it's probably going to be a money issue.
All right, let's move on to the third-round picks. I thought they got Tyler Croft. He was a name that I mentioned once again in our player preview, a guy that I really liked. You know, we mentioned that he wasn't very utilized very well at Rutgers, went left early for the draft. You know, third-round pick for him I think was pretty high value for him. I think he's a guy that could give him a weapon with Eifert. I know they're similar type of Croft's probably a better blocker than Eifert. Which isn't saying a whole lot about Eifert's blocking ability. But I think they'd complement each other well and still give each, you know, multiple weapons out in the passing game.
Yeah, they do really complement each other well. And Croft, not only just being a better blocker, but he's able to play in line. He's able to play as an H-back. You know, he can really play all over the field. And I think this season his stats went down, but I think he may have improved as a prospect, just because I think as a junior he was kind of more of a receiving tight end, didn't really offer much in terms of blocking ability and position flexibility, but after this season, you know, he really His stats dropped, but he improved as a blocker, played all over the field for Rutgers. It was a good move for him to come out, and I think he's a good pick for the Bengals in the third round.
Their other third-round pick, Paul Dawson, was a guy that a lot of people liked. I know his combine testing numbers weren't great. He improved on them at his pro day. But he, to me, he's a football player. He's a guy that just makes plays. It should be interesting to see how he translates, because you still need a certain level of speed and athleticism to play in the NFL. I think he's going to be a good fit with the Bengals because, you know, they do so much with their linebackers. I think he can play multiple linebacker positions and blitz and run and tackle. I think he's going to be a good value in that third round.
Yeah, you know, Paul Dawson, when I watched him after the combine, and to me it kind of all made sense, his combine performance. He really is just he's not an athlete at all. He doesn't show any explosiveness. He's undersized. To me, he's a college linebacker. I don't see him translating too well to the NFL, even though he is a football player. I think he just really does lack that athletic ability. I know there were also some red flags that came up concerning his attitude and just kind of just immaturity. You know, he'd show up late to meetings. He would forget his playbook, everything. Certainly that's going to be cleared up in Cincinnati, but in terms of physical talent, I don't know if he has it. Still, probably good value there in the third round.
Yeah. I kind of want to talk about their fourth and sixth round picks together. Josh Shaw was their fourth round pick, and then Darren Smith in the sixth round. I think those are two good picks for them. Shaw has all the talent. He was a guy that I liked. I think he could play both corner or safety. They like kind of bigger corners. He does give them some flexibility. And then Darren Smith is a guy I was kind of surprised he went in the sixth. I mean, I didn't think he was a day two guy, but I could have easily saw him go in the fourth round and not had an issue with it. More of a straight line guy, but he's got range. He's got good ball skills. I think he could eventually develop into their starting free safety.
Yeah. I mean, I like Smith. I like Shaw. I think they both do things a little bit differently. I think Smith, like you said, isn't, you know, the straight line speed, but he has good ball skills, good tackler. But I think he was a great value in the sixth round. Josh Shaw, he had the off the field incidents, and he can play corner and he can play safety. I think he's probably gonna end up playing corner at first and see where he goes from there. Both very solid picks in my opinion. And you know, again, Josh Shaw with the off the field incident going to Cincinnati, we know how well they clear that stuff up, so shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. Looking at their fourth round pick, Marcus Hardison was kind of interesting to me. He, as the guy that played defensive end for Arizona State, they kind of moved him between a five technique and a seven technique. He's a guy that I thought was better suited for the inside. I'll be interested to see where he plays for the Bengals. I think they have a need at defensive tackle behind Geno Atkins. They really don't have another guy similar to Atkins as a pass rusher from the inside. But then you look at him, he also profiles to what they like as a defensive end also. They like bigger guys. They like the run stuffers. They've got Carlos Dunlap and Michael Johnson as their two outside linebackers who are both, you know, 6'7", 6'8". It'll be interesting to see where they put him. I had Harrison as a guy within my top 99. He's got talent. It'd just be interesting to see where he's utilized.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't actually able to catch any of Marcus Hardison before the draft. Draft breakdown didn't have any tape on him, but, you know, he certainly, everything I've read, he just has the tools, probably played out of place this season, but he's a very good athlete. You know, he came into the combine at 6'3", 307, and at his pro day, he ran a 4.92, 4.97. So he has the athletic tools. It's about getting him in the right fit, apparently, and just seeing how it plays out. But you're right, Cincinnati has a need at both tackle spots. You know, not starting at the three technique, but backing up Geno Atkins. So we'll see where they put him.
Yeah, I could definitely see him. I mean, personally, if I were the Bengals, I'd be putting him at defensive tackle. But like I said, I'm just like, gosh, I think he's a defensive tackle, but I could see them putting him at defensive end. So who knows? Real quick before we move on from the Bengals, the last kind of pick I want to talk about quick was Mario Alford. You know, the Bengals seem pretty set at their receivers, but the one thing they really lacked was a guy that could stretch the field from the slot. You know, Andrew Hawkins was a guy that did that. He left for Cleveland. They never really replaced him. So I think you could see Alford being a guy that they try out there. Alford's got speed upon speed. So I could see him being a guy they look to get in that slot, stretch the defense, and open stuff up for A.J. Green and Sanu and those guys.
I love Mario Alford. He was another guy that was at IMG. Just a great kid, but yeah, you're right. He just has a lot of speed, and he's certainly one of the maybe top five fastest in this year's class. He doesn't really have great hands, doesn't have the best concentration, but, you know, you put him in the slot, just let him fly. He's going to be able to stretch the defense and take some pressure off A.J. Green and Muhammad Sanu.
All right, looking big picture at the Bengals, I like what they did. Wasn't another one that I loved. You know, I would kind of maybe like to see him get more of a playmaker early, but you could definitely see they wanted to get stronger up front, and they definitely had the potential to do that with Fisher and Ogbui.
Yeah, you know, they're kind of the opposite of a lot of the other teams we've covered in terms of their draft, and their first two picks were just kind of blah, and then afterwards I think their draft really heated up, and I think they finished extremely strong, so I like what they did.
All right, let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. They had the most picks of this division. They had 11 picks. First round, they went with Danny Shelton, defensive tackle, Washington, and Cam Irving, a center from Florida State. In the second round, they took defensive and outside linebacker Nate Orchard from Utah. In the third round, they took Duke Johnson, running back from Miami, and Xavier Cooper, defensive tackle, defensive end from Washington State. In the fourth round, they take Ibrahim Campbell, a safety from Northwestern, and Vince Mail, a wide receiver from Washington State. In the sixth round, they took Charles Gaines, a quarterback from Louisville, and Malcolm Johnson, a tight end from Mississippi State. And then in the seventh round, they took Hayes Pollard, an inside linebacker from USC. And then in the seventh round, they took their final pick, Ifo Ekpre-Olumu, a cornerback from Oregon. A lot of picks, some big names, or some popular, well-known names. You know, we talked about their first picks already. I don't know if we need to talk more about them. You know, we both thought Shelton really fits what they needed. He's going to free up their inside linebackers a lot more than what Phil Taylor did. Irving, he's probably going to start at right guard, even though Greco graded out pretty well. Anything more you want to add to those two picks?
Not really. I mean, they should have gone receiver, but we know how Farmer feels about receiver, so.
Yeah. You know, looking at their second-round pick, Nate Orchard, I kind of, the more I watched him late in the process, I kind of soured on him a little bit. I don't really see much more than a situational pass rusher as for him.
Yeah, you know, I really didn't like Nate Orchard at all. I had him outside my top 10 outside linebackers, or pass rushers, I should say. He just, to me, he's just kind of one of those savvy college football players who, you know, has good technique and gets by with that, but really lacks the explosiveness and the athleticism and, you know, the fluidity to really contribute and at the next level and be an impact player. So I really did not like that pick at all. Way too high for him.
All right, why don't you, the third round picks, both guys I know you know a lot about, with Duke Johnson and Xavier Cooper. What are your takes on those two guys?
Well, Duke Johnson, you know, I watched him for 3 years in Miami, and he's, you know, you can't say enough good things about him. You know, he's not overly big. you know, he's fast, but he's not the C.J. Spiller type of fast. But you know what? This guy's a football player. Great vision, just can cut on a dime, stop and go ability. He has just that running back speed, I guess you would say. The short area quickness. I thought he was an amazing pick where they got him. And to me, he probably won't be the starter in Cleveland just because of his skill set and his lack of size and physicality. But he's going to come in, probably play behind Isaiah Crowell, who I imagine is going to be the starter in Cleveland this year. And they're gonna have a great running game.
Yeah, I mean, they had a little three-headed monster with the guy from Towson, Terrence West. So they, and then last year, I think with Ben Tate there for a little bit, and then they cut ties with Ben Tate. So I could definitely see them going that three-headed monster again, rotating those guys, maybe depending on the matchup, depending on the hot hand. Johnson seems to really kind of complement those guys pretty well.
And you know, also with the without having a quarterback and lack of talent at wide receiver too, Duke Johnson is phenomenal in the pass game, and so that's going to go a long ways, and that's why I think you're going to see him get maybe even the majority of the snaps in Cleveland this year.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, to see him even paired up with one of those guys in the same backfield at the same time. You know, maybe they motion Johnson out to the slot. Maybe they run him a route from the backfield, so they can do a lot with him. Let's move on. Fourth round, Campbell. I know a lot of people were pretty high on Campbell. He was a guy that, you know, he's a strong safety. I wasn't, you know, nothing too special with him. Vince Male to me is intriguing. You know, I kind of thought about this as we went. I don't know when we talked about this. Maybe it was one of the previous podcasts. I really thought the Browns would go for a big body receiver, a guy that can go up and get the ball. You know, Manziel's gonna be, you know, with all the talk that they're gonna move up to get a quarterback, they didn't. Manziel's their future, whether he pans out or not. I see them, the two receivers that they took were bigger guys, Hartline and Bo in free agency. Male kind of fits that same type of role. He's a former basketball player, 6'4", go up and get the ball. I wasn't in love with him. I think I had him ranked in my 20s for receivers, so I kind of thought they reached a little on him, but he kind of fit what I thought they were going to go for.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really see a whole lot of him, but, you know, he just doesn't have that immediate impact ability. Maybe has the red zone threat in him, but just, you know, the Browns' inability to acknowledge that they need a receiver is just kind of baffles me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too surprising. I know a lot of people wanted to mock a receiver to them early in the first round, especially. I mean, I didn't see it. I didn't think it was going to happen. Let's kind of move on. You know, you look at their final four picks in the sixth and seventh round. You know, Malcolm Johnson's interesting because he can play so many different positions. I think he's going to give them a nice Swiss Army knife, maybe a Charles Clay type guy that Miami used to have. A guy that, you know, in their final pick, Ifo Ekpre-Olumu, are you surprised he went that late in the draft?
No, I'm not at all. I don't think he was a great prospect to begin with. I thought he was probably like a third, fourth round guy. I think a lot of it was just hype, you know, him being the best player or best player in that Oregon secondary. I wasn't a big fan of him coming in, and then you hear that he probably would have had to have multiple knee surgeries to get the knee back in playing shape. I wasn't surprised at all. He's a slot corner at best, even if he's healthy.
Okay. Overall, I don't know what you thought of Cleveland. I mean, I kind of liked what they did. I thought they got overall pretty good value on their guys. They may have reached on a few. The thing that really holds me back from really liking them was the Irving pick kind of confused me, and then the failure to get a receiver. They have no weapons on the perimeter, and I mean, I understand you don't want to get one in the first round, but you got to get somebody somewhere. I mean, I thought they could have gone in the second or third round. They had two picks in the third round, and there were still good quality receivers. Heck, Jalen Strong went in the third round. I thought they could have got somebody.
Yeah, I completely agree. They had an okay draft, but you can't deny needs like that. You just have no talent on the outside, and Cam Irving, you keep investing in your offensive line, and for what reason? Everybody on your offensive line graded out highly last year. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Let's move on to the final team in this division, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had the fewest picks in this with only eight, which is, that's still pretty good. First round, they took Alvin Dupree, outside linebacker from Kentucky. Second round, they took Cinquez Golson, a cornerback from Mississippi. Third round, Sammy Coates, wide receiver from Auburn. Fourth round, Doran Grant, cornerback from Ohio State. Fifth round, Jesse James, a tight end from Penn State. Sixth round, LT Walton, a defensive tackle from Central Michigan. Sixth round, Anthony Ciccolo, a defensive end from Miami. And then seventh round, they took Louisville safety Jerod Holloman. You look at Dupree, we both thought it was a tremendous value and fit the need for Pittsburgh. Getting him at what, pick 21 or 23? I think it was 23.
2022.
22, because the Lions had 23.
Correct.
I thought that might have been the best pick in the draft based off of value, or at least in the first round. I mean, Fitz, I think he was a guy that fell into their lap. He fit their need perfectly.
Yeah, I think he was a tremendous pick for them. One of the best picks of the first round, so they struck gold there.
Yeah, looking on round two, Cinquez Golson. I like him as a player. I'm not quite sure that I saw him as a second round pick.
No, I think Golson went around early. He's extremely well-rounded. He has the play speed, and he's able to mirror his man. But he's so undersized and he plays tough, but you can't really play tough on a jump ball that's going to, eliminate the mismatch. So I think he might play on the outside, but I think he's probably better suited for the inside as a corner. I thought, like I said, he went around too early, wasn't a great pick by the Steelers, certainly was nothing like their first round pick.
Yeah, and kind of actually going similar to their first round pick, Sammy Coates in the third round. I thought that was a good pick for them. Sammy Coates to me seems like a Pittsburgh Steeler type receiver. Good speed, can stretch the field. Can stretch the field. He get comparison maybe to a poor man's Terrell Owens. I think he gives Big Ben a bigger receiver that he wants, but also that speedier guy that they've tended to use in the past. Or.
Actually like Sammy Coates a lot as kind of just the intrigue. He has all the tools. He for me, when I was kind of doing a comparison on him, he did kind of remind me of Terrell Owens a little bit, but I said his ceiling, he was like a Julio Jones in terms of what he has athletically. But I mean, he could be a Darius Hayward Bay if he doesn't pan out. So I think it was a great selection for the Steelers, and I think it was an even bigger steal than Bud Dupree. And they certainly needed a receiver, just because Antonio Brown, he wants a new contract. Kind of Martavis Bryant and what's the other guy's name?
Marcus
Marcus Wheaton.
Wheaton.
Yeah, you aren't sure really how those two are really going to fit into the long-term plans. I think Coates is a great guy. Particularly where he got him, I love the pick.
All right, let's move on to fourth round. Doran Grant's a guy that really came on late last year. Really good cover guy. Maybe not the biggest of size, but I think he really fits the type of cornerback that they've had success with in the past, getting guys in the middle rounds. Maybe not the biggest of guys, but, you know, good cover guys.
Yeah, I would have liked to see the Steelers go out and try and find a bigger corner who may need a little bit of time for development, particularly after drafting Senquez Golson. I think him and Grant are somewhat similar, at least in stature. You know, he helps the secondary, but what do you really get out of him in terms of development? That I don't know. So it was a good pick, but I feel as if they could have done better.
Yeah. Looking at the fifth round, Jesse James, he's a guy I like. Can kind of a do-it-all. He's not a great athlete, but he's a good blocker. He has a knack for getting open, good hands. If you don't mind a mini rant, one thing that drove me nuts, and I don't want to, I don't like signaling national analysts out on here, but Mel Kiper just drove me nuts when this pick was made. You know, he hammered Jesse James for leaving early, and he should have stayed, and he could have gone higher. Ball. I don't know if Jesse James was ever going to be more than a fourth to fifth round pick. The thing that he makes that big comment, but he doesn't realize that, you know, Jesse James, this was his third coaching staff that he was at with Penn State. He got recruited from Joe Paterno. He had a lot of success under Bill O'Brien, and then now he's at with Franklin. You know, you think maybe a guy like that, he's probably already got his degree, ready just to move on. You know, I don't think his stock, like I said, was going to go any higher or lower. And I just think when you make comments like that, it really, takes away from your knowledge, you know, because I think Kiper does have a lot of knowledge. But, I mean, you know, the same thing with Tyler Croft, a guy that was underutilized. There was a poor tight end class. You figure, I just might as well go now and get my money.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the big thing, too, and you covered it, is with Jesse James and having three different coaching staffs, and it's not as if it was, you know, all internal hires. I talked with Mike Hall, the Penn State linebacker, about what it was like playing for each of the coaches, and he said each of them were just so different and just nothing alike. And, as a player, you have to dislike that because you can't get any consistency and each year is just different. I'm sure Jesse James just not really being a great athlete really felt that one down year next season could really just hamper him and felt, you know, in a weak tight end class, it was best if he came out. Personally, though, I don't like him much at all. I watched him and just kind of turned the tape off after a while, just very slow moving. Kind of just lumbering. I wasn't a fan of him at all.
I mean, yeah, he'll be a blocking tight end for them, a guy that, you know, will sneak out and be a security blanket. But I mean, I don't think I like him just because I like that he can do multiple things at Penn State. He lined up as fullback, out in the slot, as an inline. You know, his ability to do multiple things I liked. But yeah, he's not a good athlete, and he is what he is. I don't think he was going to improve his stock. I don't think he was going to hurt his stock if he came out. That's why I thought, him coming out was moot.
Yeah, that's – him coming out really, really should have no impact on his draft status.
All right, let's kind of look to wrap this up. Anything you want to add with LT Walton or Anthony Chiclow?
Nothing really on Walton. I think it's just more of like a interior line depth. Chiclow, though, I don't really know where he fits on that defensive line. Just undersized, not a great athlete. Really a sixth round pick, I guess, where he was drafted. Yeah, nothing special. So I think Jerod Holloman, though, I think maybe Pittsburgh can develop him into something with his ball skills, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he lasted all the way to the seventh round. I mean, he is what he is. He got a lot of his interceptions were tipped, or, you know, he just happened to be there. I don't think he's as bad as, you know, I think he kind of fell into this, you know, he got hyped up a lot at the beginning of the process because of his picks, and then people watched more tape, and then he kind of got, I think he got shot down a lot more than he probably should have. I think he's got, you know, he's young, he's only a redshirt sophomore, so he's got a lot of development under him. I think he's got the skill set where he could develop into a starter down the road. So I'm a little surprised he went all the way to the seventh round. I know he doesn't like to tackle. He's not a big contact guy. But, you know, you put him back in the deep center field and make him plays on the ball, I think he has the chance to, you know, do well in that role.
Yeah, you know, actually, I think one of the biggest issues with him was a lot of teams felt he didn't care about football and didn't really have a passion for the game. So I think that might have been the fuel that caused him to fall to the seventh round.
Yeah. Overall, how did you feel the Steelers draft went?
I thought it was a great draft. It was one of their better drafts I can remember. I feel like lately they've kind of been up and down. But yeah, I mean, getting Bud Dupree and Sammy Coates in the rounds that they are in the spots they did, I think that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I think I had it was one of my three best drafts. I think the Dupree pick really set it over the top. You can't I mean that was probably one of my favorite picks of the entire draft. And then I thought Coates was a good pick. I like Grant in the fourth round. I thought that was solid value for him. I really liked what they did. What would you say, who do you think had the best draft in this division?
The Ravens, without a doubt. I really like what they did. Their offense was really solidified. It's going to be great seeing Mark Trestman with the talent that they have now. Then, you know, they lost Haloti Ngata, replace him with Carl Davis, who goes to an ideal situation given his inconsistencies. And then, you know, they drafted, I think they got a few late round guys that could really, really develop into something for them. So I was really high on the Ravens draft.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick with the Steelers. I really really liked what Baltimore did. I just think the Steelers got maybe more impactful guys. You know, maybe that I'm skewed more by my loving of the Dupree pick, but I just think I like the Steelers better.
Understandable.
Which out of, I guess out of the Bengals and the Browns, which one did you dislike the most?
Go with the Browns. I don't think they had an awful draft, but you know, they failed to address wide receiver. They wasted, I mean, I hate using that word, but they wasted their second first round pick on Cam Irving, in my opinion, because they didn't need help along the offensive line at all. Nate Orchard, to me, is just, I mean, a huge reach. I thought he probably should have been a fourth or fifth round pick, just because he has zero upside. And then, you know, they drafted great in the third round and then kind of fell back off towards the end of the draft. So, yeah, it's got to be the Browns.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. You know, I liked it at the beginning, and then the more you look at it, you know, Shelton was a good pick. You know, I like Duke Johnson. I think Cooper could fit well with them. It's just, and then, you know, Irving. You know, I don't necessarily like that fit. Orchard, I kind of soured on him. In the mid to the late, I just, you know, when Malcolm Johnson's my next favorite pick for them, that tells you a lot. So, not really a huge fan of what they did. Well, that kind of wraps it up for this one. The AFC North. We're going to continue this theme going. The NFC North is our next team. Looking at those teams in that division. Once again, follow us on or subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Facebook, or not Facebook, Twitter. I'm at BA Johans. Kyle's at Kyle Howe 1. We'll tweet out the link. We'll tweet out the iTunes subscription link if you haven't followed, subscribed to that yet. And we'll get our next one out to you soon. Thanks for listening.